Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds, but in their hearts. Help us this morning, God, to grab a hold of the idea you're asking us to change. You are asking us to completely revamp the way we think. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, today's Advent reading for this Sunday, the second Sunday in Advent, is supposed to be about peace. And it occurs to me, I want to set up a framework for you here today that, you know, you may agree with or you might disagree with, but you're going to have a hard time arguing with it. And that is this. If you want peace, if you want to experience peace, then you have to completely change the way you think. You have to completely change the way you do business in this world. And that is what this scripture is actually calling us to. I know that when we look at this scripture in a vacuum, we get the sermons about, you know, prepare the way of the Lord and all this stuff around baptism. I'm going to submit to you today that it's really where the action is. If you're going to be a person of faith, this is where it starts, especially if you're going to be a person of faith and call yourself a Christian. This is the beginning. And it's almost as important as the birth of Christ. Listen up. The good news of Jesus Christ, the message, begins here, following to the letter the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Watch closely. I am sending my preacher ahead of you. He will make the road smooth for you. He will be thunder in the desert, yelling, prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to the forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem as they confessed their sins and were baptized by him in the Jordan River into a changed life. Changed life. John wore a camel hair habit, tied at the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. As he preached, he said, the real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I am a mere stagehand, will change your life. I am baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for the kingdom life. His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out. Now, first of all, I'm going to give you, as I've promised, we realized that as part of the church that we had a responsibility to teach you and do some teachings around theology. So this first couple of minutes is your exegetical learning lesson. In other words, where did this come from? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, most scholarly conversation around the character of John the Baptist and his missions. It appears that John, at the time of his existence, was considered an Old Testament prophet. Think about that. He was considered an Old Testament prophet. They didn't ever move him into the New Testament. They used him as a bridge between what the Jews understood their relationship with God was and this new person called Jesus. His call for baptism had to seem pretty unusual to the Jews because the custom of baptism cannot be attested to before or any sooner than 100 BC. It was practiced as early as John's ministry, which at that point was 28 CE, and I'm not sure what CE means.
Common era.
AD.
Common era, there you go, AD. So 28 AD, that's like 2 years before Jesus really started his ministry. It would have been regarded, now listen to this, it would have been regarded as an affront to Jewish self-conscience. There are limited baptismal movements in Judaism, such as the Essenes, which is what John was considered. So, understand that this idea of a prophet is what they considered John, that was saying to the crowds, repent. You got to turn around and come back. And I'm going to use water to wash off the old way. You remember I set this message up this morning by saying, if you want to know peace, there's only one way you're going to get there. You got to change the way you think. You got to change the way you're doing business. And that's exactly what John was doing. The essential point of John's message was that all assumptions based on, are you ready for this? Election and ethnicity were no longer valid. Do you know what election is? Everybody?
Being chose.
According to election is, what is your culture? What is your economic status? It's all those things. What place do you have in life? In other words, what were you born into? Remember, Paul had some authority in the Christian church. Why?
He was Jewish.
He was Jewish. He was born a Jew, and not only that, he was a Pharisee.
Son of Abraham.
So election at that point is how, what are you born into? People that are born into money, you know, we talk about this all the time. What is it, the Kennedys, the Bushes, and what's some of the other famous?
The Rockefellers.
Yeah, that is your place in the world is set up because of who your parents are. And here's John, and the Jews understood this very strictly. They understood it very, very, very strictly. There were those people who were the leaders in the temple. There were the priests. There were those that were rich, that gave money to the temple and kept the Pharisees and the Sadducees in good order. And on top of that, you didn't get to marry outside of what? Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
You had to marry within the faith. So here comes John. And he's telling these people the way that they had been doing business had to change. Walter Wink states in the Oxford Companion to the Bible that John burst on the scene as a virtual mutant. His rite of baptism, symbolizing rebirth, had no precedent in any Jewish source. This suggests that the story of John may be a theological metaphor pointing at the discontinuing of religious practice as people know it. The evangelists each employ the traditions about John, the evangelists in this case, the authors of Matthew and Mark and Luke, in the service of the proclamation of Jesus. Each handles him differently, but they all see him as the one who stands at the beginning, demanding of the hearer a beginner's mind. In other words, everything that you've been taught, throw it out. Yeah, the East Coast thing. Forget about it. Now, I know that if we are honest, we're all sitting there going, but, Pastor, I wasn't raised all that bad. I got some good traditions that I pay attention to. We've got some great family stuff. And quite frankly, I'm not all that bad. So what is it that you think has got to change? Well, let's look at the Jews. They had it pretty good compared to the folks around them at the time, didn't they?
Yeah.
They took, I mean, one of the one of the most important things you could do as a Jew was what? Take care of the widows and the orphans.
That's a good rule.
Hospitality was of the highest. The highest mark. And if that's the case, what had to change? What was it that John would say is a problem? Oh, wait a minute. Even with hospitality being of the highest regard, even taking care of widows and orphans, we still had a whole bunch of people that were left out. Not the Gentiles. We'll get to them in a minute. But we had a whole group of people within Judaism that was absolutely left out. A person that had one leg shorter than another couldn't get into the temple. Women were not allowed inside to worship. In fact, women were simply incubators for the procreation process. They had no rights. They couldn't speak. They could be divorced in the bat of an eye. People who had seizures or were blind or were not smart enough were considered to be under the thumb of God for the sin of their parents. And John came along and said, all that needs to stop. All that needs to stop. So there's a cartoon. Do y'all know who Hagar is?
Yeah. Oh, Hagar in the Bible?
Hagar the Horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a cartoon. And in this particular cartoon, in the first frame, there's a monk standing in front of Hagar the Horrible, has a Bible tucked under his arm, has an expression of peace on his face, and he says to Hagar, "Remember, it is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness." In the next frame, we see the monk disappearing over the horizon, and we see Hagar looking out at us and saying, "But I enjoy cursing the darkness." See, one of the things that we didn't talk about that John was asking to change was the fact that if you didn't follow 647 laws, then you were out of touch with God. And God would curse you. There was no reason, folks, for you to strive to do better. You were in your place. That's why theologians sit there and go, this election, you're there, you're stuck, you're bad, that's it. Nothing's going to get better. And don't we do that today? I mean, I have been wrestling ever since the start of what happened in Ferguson and now what's going on in New York City and what's going on in Atlanta. I have struggled with trying to write a piece that was pastoral to try and talk about the issue of our day and what's really going on. And I have one particular person who really wants the pastor to write something and to say something. I won't name him, but he's sitting directly across from me, who has been pushing me for the last 2 weeks that you got to say something. And finally, His latest effort to get me to write was to send me a POV. Do you know what a POV is? I just learned. I had to look it up.
Point of view?
point of view. You're exactly right. He sent me a piece expressing his point of view about Ferguson in New York. And the thing that jumped out at me, because I got this email as I was preparing for today's message, the thing that jumped out at me was that he said, basically, and help me here because I'm asking you to help me make you the center point. He basically said America's in trouble. It's kind of a curse in the darkness kind of statement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. America's in trouble. Mm-hmm. Curse in the darkness. And you know what? We are. We absolutely are. We are in trouble because we are the richest nation on earth. And there is no excuse for anybody in this country to go to bed hungry. Amen. We are the richest nation on the earth. There is no excuse that anybody ought to be sleeping under a bridge, that the police will roll in with tanks and push them out. We are in trouble. I remember that back during the campaign in 2008, there was a pastor by the name of Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who at that time was talking about the terrorists and talking about 9/11 and talking about all the stuff that was going on. And he quoted from Isaiah. And Isaiah the prophet was saying to Jerusalem at the time, because of their behavior, that God wasn't going to bless them. That God, in fact, was damning them. Jeremiah Wright went on to say that our behavior in the world as Americans, that God wasn't blessing us either. God was damning us. And they played that over and over and over again to talk about the fact that he wasn't an American. There is something wrong with this country. It is the way we think. That is what this is about. It is not what you were born into. It is not about the color of your skin. It is not about your gender identity. It is not about your sexual orientation and who you love. It has everything to do with, do you hear the call of God in your life? Are you willing to adhere to this baby that we're going to celebrate in a couple of weeks? And quite frankly, they didn't do it then. And I'm not sure we're willing to do it today. I told Lance right before the beginning of the service that I was going to pick on him. And this is what I was going to pick on him about, because America's in trouble, that is true. But we have a prescription to change it. I don't know whether you've heard this before. I don't know whether what you all are challenged with. My God, I'm sitting here looking around. I know most of you really well. I know what the challenges are. And I know that it can feel incredibly hopeless at times. But you got to change the way you think. Now, I know that that's difficult. You know how I know that's difficult? Because when I say to somebody, as a follower of Christ, in a system where capital punishment was the course, and Jesus said, no, you cannot do that. Not unless you're what? Without sin. Okay? I'm sorry, folks. Let's have that conversation. We got to change. We got to quit thinking that every time we disagree with somebody, We either throw them out, and if we can't keep them out, then we kill them. It does not matter what their religion. It is time that we change what we are doing. When the state of Georgia says they put somebody to death on your behalf, I hope it makes you uncomfortable. When you see the police that are supposed to serve and protect, bring in bulldozers and begin pushing people's belongings into a gully, I hope it makes you uncomfortable. And oh, by the way, now that I'm on this track, I am tired of hearing people say to me, but there's an editorial cartoon, has a penguin talking to a white guy, and the penguin says, they shot an unarmed black man in Ferguson. And the white guy says, but he had shoplifted. The next frame says, they chokehold a guy who was selling single cigarettes. And the white guy says, but he was selling them illegally. And I forget what the third one was. But the fourth frame, the penguin says to the white guy, did you see the news article where they stopped a man with an AK-47 from walking into a shopping mall? And the guy says, how dare they try to take his gun away from him that is rightfully his through the Second Amendment? Now, you may not like it, but something has got to change. We live in a world where the police are no longer serving and protecting. They have grenade launchers. They have tanks. We do not, folks, have to worry about being occupied by some foreign oppressor. It has happened today. We are an occupied nation. Now, I know that you may think I have lost my mind, but when I read this scripture this morning, and all week, I can't get it past my head. We spend all of Advent wanting peace. We celebrate Christmas as Jesus being some kind of cosmic hero. We even get into fights over whether we're going to say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. How ridiculous. We got to change the way we think. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you come and you visited me. Deal with that. And then tell me why we've armed the police as if they're a military encampment. Tell me again how we could disagree with somebody and somebody commit a crime and we will be justified in killing them. Tell me again how we can arrest the homeless at a rate of 5 times that of anybody else on the face of the earth. Tell me again how we as white people could sit back and deny the fact that black people are arrested at 4 times the rate that we are. Tell me again why the prisons are 90% black and Latino. Tell me again why there are laws that charge white people using drugs as a misdemeanor, but most drugs of choice for the black community is a felony. We have to change the way we're thinking. God bless you.